an interview with Anne-Marie. So my first question to you is, what inspired you to write the book Across the Pond?
Okay. Well, I guess it's always been something that is kind of in the back of my mind, words and sayings that I kind of grew up with. And one day I was talking to somebody about a new project and wasn't sure what my new project was going to be, and they said something like, well, what do you know, and you know, what has happened to you in your life? And I thought, oh, well, I know England and I know all those wonderful British charming expressions that I kind of grew up with, so I decided to start a project on those. And actually the first part of the project was a series of paintings, and they were just with the words that I recalled, the words and sayings that I recalled from my memory, things like faff. And I did a painting about faff, which to faff around is kind of to do nothing in essence, and you could waste hours doing nothing. So it's really more of a word piece that painting was. And I did for an art exhibit in the city, in a gallery on the Lower East Side on Orchard Street. There was 16 different expressions all framed, and it was kind of the beginning of this project. From that, I had the Islip Museum in Islip on Long Island. We're doing a show called, I'm forgetting the name of it. I have the card somewhere. I'm terrible with recalling names. Remembering Things Past. And it was an international show featuring artists from different countries. And so they gave me this whole room. It was a 10-foot by 14-foot room, which was large. And they said, you can do your installation here. So what I did was I painted a whole wall with the expressions. Or I think there are 144 expressions on this wall. And the wall was 10-foot high by 14-foot long, and I numbered each expression. And then on the second and third walls, I put the corresponding number with the meaning of the expression, so the viewer could see the expression, recall the number, then just walk around to the next wall and figure out what the expression meant. And funnily enough, I painted, I chose to work with chalkboard paint and coloured chalk on the wall, because I guess it felt right, and it was something, you know, I grew up in an era of chalkboards and real chalk, so it kind of recalled that. But in a very intuitive way, the final wall, at least that one wall, the formation was it looked like the map of America, which was really unplanned, and it just happened to occur like that. And I can show you photographs and you'll see exactly what I mean. And then on the third half of the third wall and the fourth wall, I put these little paintings which I had framed of some of my favorite expressions. And then I worked this took me 4 days to install. So I was driving to Islip, doing the painting, doing the chalking. The first day I put down all the chalk paint. The second day I started, and I had no idea how many expressions I'd need because it was a big wall. So I'd go home at night and look through the dictionary, and I ended up ordering all these British expression dictionaries and consulting them, and then racking my brains and talking to friends. Oh, what words? And anyway, it ended up with being something like 144 expressions. And I worked with a proofreader then on day 4, and she was this little old lady who volunteers at the Islip museum, and the first thing she said to me, oh, you spelled masturbate wrong. I was like, oh my God, oh no, it was really embarrassing. And it's, you know, and I then she said, you know, you really should put these together in a book. It would be a great book. And I said, oh, I thought about doing that. And yes, that did occur to me. And that sort of gave me the inspiration to put it together as a book.
Okay.
This is your question. And so then the end pages of the book are from that wall, from the Islip Museum.
You're pursuing a master's degree in fine arts and studying poetry at the same time. Do you think that visual art and poetry are connected?
I guess so. It used to be that I would always start with the visuals, but I was always really interested in finding the right title for my pieces. And since I've been taking poetry classes and writing classes, short fiction classes, memoir classes in the last 5 years. I've taken quite a few of them because I never really had much confidence in my writing. But it takes a long time to find your voice in visuals, which I feel I spent my whole life doing that and have a degree in visual art. But the written work, I was always a little bit unsure of my voice. I'm not sure I've totally found it now, but I feel a little bit more confident, and I really now begin most projects with a written piece, which is a complete turnaround. So it's either a poetry or a story as the dialogue piece you just heard. And often I try to, or it often sort of goes to kind of a humour as an entry point, if that makes sense, because that seems to be the way that I kind of feel most comfortable doing, although that's not always, it doesn't come naturally.
You have a son who was born in the United States, so he inherited both American and British culture. Do you think that books like yours would help bicultural people integrate both parts of their identity?
Sure. And my son is fortunate that he's been able to go. You know, he's gone every summer since he was born. And he does, you know, he enjoys the humour once he's there. And now he's getting a bit older, he can really understand more of it. But yes, I think often a lot of people say to me, especially when they saw this show at Islip or had seen my work, say, oh, I've never heard of that before, or, oh, that's a really interesting, you know, I've never heard that before. So that's why I, as part of this book, it became, you know, initially an illustrated book of the sayings. But then it kind of went deeper into, you know, the origins, the etymology of each word. So then I kind of compiled a visual dictionary. And there are many, it could keep growing and growing and growing, but I haven't, you know, added one recently, although I do have a list of new words that I should be adding. But you have to stop somewhere, so.
Mm-hmm. Or you can divide it up into volumes.
Yeah, perhaps.
So I think that might be a way to go. So
yeah.
if you sort of put together one volume, and people like it, they enjoy it, they want to see more, and here is yours.
Right.
You have already the research, the resources, and the artwork, and then you just keep, you know, language is very expandable.
Yes.
There's a lot that can be done, just my opinion. Sorry to interrupt. But so my next question is, do you find that Americans are interested in learning about Britain?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's everywhere you go, I think, and there's, you know, they can understand it because it's the same language, except it's quite a different language underneath. I call it sort of a language within a language. But yes, I think there's lots of royalists and many Anglophiles all over the States, tremendous interest, and that's why I've shown sort of the visuals as compiled in a book, and everyone I've shown it to has been very excited to look at it as a coffee book that sort of entertains you. So yeah, sort of gift book, pictorial coffee book, image driven book.
And do you think that English speakers who visit Great Britain from other countries would be interested in reading your book?
I hope so. It would probably make their stay a little bit easier. They might start to understand the kind of irony and the sarcasm in a lot of British expressions. So yes, I think it would be good, especially if they go shopping or want to eat things.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.